This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money, VSiN, the sports betting network, as we welcome you in and welcome you to a brand new week. It's getting here, right? We've got week zero college football. We've got to deal with one more preseason game, then we're on to the NFL. So it feels like finally this week, on August 19th, on a Monday as we sit here, it's right over there. It's ominous. Here comes the football, so let's get prepared. We've got plenty to do today. The big guy, Dustin Swee's in a mood. I just want to warn all of you, and we'll get to our guests and what's on tap for the program, but the big guy's in a mood. A bit of a management mood. I dealt with him earlier today when we were going over the program and setting it up, and he's just kind of lecturing me, going off. So we'll see how Dustin Sweetelson didn't have his four-hour sojourn with Will Hill yesterday on a little live bet Sunday. You'd think he'd be in a good mood. I just try to deal with it as we welcome you back. Again, off of COVID, off the hunger strike, feeling great. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. There he is, the big guy, Dustin Sweetelson, hanging out at the D in downtown Las Vegas. You know, part of the mood might be, I'm taking a look at the weekend results. He did go 2-11 on the picks, which isn't a great weekend. Mike Somich took the collar, 0-6. So we try to improve upon what happened this weekend. You throw it away. You just toss it, and we get right back up on the horse. Speaking of the horse, let's go ahead and show you what's on tap today. Dan Mullen is going to join. Looking forward to the conversation with the former head coach there, Florida, of course. Dan Mullen, now ESPN. Looking forward to Dan Mullen for joining us. Derek Carty is going to join. Get you some Major League Baseball plays. You know what we like to do. No live bullets as we welcome you into the program. So we're going to give you with the family plays. And, of course, Dan Mullen and Derek Carty, we're going to get you a bunch of plays ready to go today. Steve Fezzik is going to join. He's a professional handicapper, and he's a professional wet blanket. I don't know if you saw his text messages. Now, Steve, you know, top of mind, and you can get your questions in for Steve Fezzik. Of course, it's sharpmoney@vsin.com, Dustin Sweetelson. And Fezzik just completely going through. He's got a beautiful mind. I'm told I can say that again. But his mind just works differently. And he's got teams that he's high on, teams that he's down on in the NFL before the season starts. We'll get to those coming up in just a bit. And then he threw this in here. We had a tremendous time on Friday. New management with our buddy Steve Cohen, Mr. Raider, loves Gardner Minshew, and he loves the ponies as well. So we had a lot of fun on Friday, betting on Saratoga, then into Del Mar, Dustin. And here's a note from Fezzik. Let's discuss why all the horse racing discussion is wildly entertaining. However, in my opinion, there is no chance we are going to actually be able to win doing it. So he has spoken. And he's tearing us down, wet blanket style, so we're going to have to confront him, professional handicapper Steve Fezzik, when he shows up.
I won more in a misclick betting horse racing on Friday than Steve would have won had Purdue won in round one of the NCAA tournament 2 years ago.
Well, I mean, maybe he can tell us another tale of him playing Gill in tennis. That'll do it. I mean, seriously, two middle-aged men running over there without a backhand. Nobody cares. People, like, horse racing, at least we can throw together an exotic, a little pick five.
I'm not
trying to win something here.
I am not even a horse racing guy, but I think one thing we have to acknowledge about the sport is it gives you opportunities every single day. All summer on this network, I flip it on, YouTube TV, it's fantastic. Love watching VSiN on YouTube TV. So convenient, watch it on my phone, wherever. Turn it on, everyone's complaining. Rob Manfred ruining baseball. Why is there no day baseball today? Why is there no day baseball right now? It's August 19th. Most kids are not back in school yet. There's a chance to have action on something. Baseball's not giving it to you. You know who does give it to you? Every single day, horse racing.
Yeah, and people that aren't into horse racing, they say you can't win at horse racing because they can't do it.
Sure.
It's pretty simple. I know plenty of people that make a ton of cash betting on the horses. It just like Steve makes a ton of cash betting on football.
Yeah.
Different strokes, different folks.
I'm not good at science, so I say I can't go to the moon. Whether we win at all is another conversation for another day.
Right. And if you want to know the answer, just ask Kyrie Irving. So, again, we start up the program. When we start on a Monday, we reset Circa Survivor. Everybody should know we've got the big broadcast, the first of a five-part docuseries coming up tonight on X on YouTube TV. and of course over at vsin.com. We'll throw it up there, the quests for $9.2 million. You can watch it live, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. It's going to broadcast on X, vsin.com/survivor, and YouTube TV. Superstars all over the place here at VSiN. I'm looking forward to that live broadcast. And speaking of Survivor, we've got our Sharp Money Survivor, which starts every Monday here on the program. And Dustin, who's up this week?
It's going to be our guy. This is quite a name. Jake Novakovic. Not Nova Scotia.
He was a fullback for the Cowboys.
That's Jay Novacek. Went to Wyoming. I tried to do a book report on him, and he did not return my calls back in fifth grade. Jake Novakovic from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and he's going to go of the player prop variety later today for a Sharp Money Survivor play. What Sharp Money Survivor? Well, every day we give you, the listener here of the program, a chance to compete for $550 from Patrick and mine's wallet. All you have to do, get a pick right on a Monday, you pick again Tuesday. You win that one, you pick Wednesday. You lose any along the way, you're eliminated. Goodbye. Next contestant starts on Monday. So far, our leader, Nish Gandhi, 5 in a row atop the Survivor standings.
Nish Gandhi, you got there, big guy. You got there. Nish Gandhi, you were battling. It's early in the week. That sentence started, the paragraph finished, and I was pulling for you.
I was
pulling for you.
I missed a few commas in there. There was probably supposed to be a couple commas that I glossed over.
It's okay. It's just broadcast. Yeah, Nish Gandhi, our doctor in Pittsburgh, the sharpest guy. I'm sorry. I'm in a loopy mood. So Sharp Money Survivor will try to get a streak, pick or die, going today. Feels like you wanted to say something?
Nope. I am perfectly content in leaving everything I just said on the floor to live forever.
I think that's probably a tremendous idea. Now, the theme coming out of week two of the preseason is the quarterbacks. Now, we told you, 10, 14 days ago, you could still get plus money on Gardner Minshew. I want to start there with the Raiders. That looks like, cover your ears, Mr. Cohen, and cover your ears, Mr. Samich. Fezzik is down. Professional bettor is down on the Raiders. We'll get his explanation when he stops by the program. We didn't love the Antonio Pierce approach to naming a starter. Like, why would you paint yourself in a corner? Why would you tell the media after week two of the preseason, we're going to name a start? That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Less is more, Antonio. Keep it in your pants. Okay, chill out. No reason. It's Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell. Now, there's a couple things with this. First off, if you know Gardner Minshew, you know the play breaks down and he tries to create something. So that's kind of what he does. He plays YOLO ball. Instinctually, I think he's a fine quarterback. He played well. Steichen coached him up last year. So if you coach him up, you can win some ball games with Gardner Minshew. O'Connell, on the other hand, first off, I'll tell you why it was such a ruse. And this wasn't a competition going into week two of the preseason. Essentially, O'Connell, by the numbers, completing over 72% in the preseason. Minshew's south of 50%. The numbers are better with O'Connell. He did throw an interception as opposed to nothing from Minshew. But O'Connell had a better preseason. And, of course, Antonio Pierce is named Gardner Minshew the starter. Let's hear from Pierce, big guy.
Yeah, look, it wasn't the prettiest quarterback battle of all time. And as you mentioned, he kind of forced their decision after week two of the preseason. And this was Antonio Pierce after the game, just kind of recapping how things went there down the home stretch.
I mean, everything. I mean, you can't take one, you can't take the good and not take the bad, right? So wish it ended well for both gentlemen, right? And it just didn't. And we'll look at it, we'll evaluate. They both had opportunities. Aiden had 20 attempts, and Minshew had 21. So about as balanced and as we can get it, and we'll look at it. Obviously, you saw what our plan was tonight. Throw the ball around, let these guys showcase what they can do, and we'll talk about it.
Okay. One quick question. What the hell did he just say?
He said, I wish it went better, but it didn't. He literally said
My man rolled out after naming a starter and said, that sucked.
Yeah. I don't know why would he say that?
Look, I think it's refreshing. The Antonio Pierce experiment is going to be good for us.
Yeah, for sure.
And again, maybe in the locker room he's loved. He got to get rid of the tobacco. Not for me, because I am riding Zin.
I think that's tobacco-less, by the way.
It is tobacco-less. Thank you very much. I'm already ahead of the Raiders. over here blowing
more
rings.
More progressive.
But he shoots from the hip. I guess we like it.
Can we
it's
hear
refreshing.
It again? Can we hear it again, please? I just want to make sure I'm not going crazy. Am I going crazy? Did he not say, I wish it went better, but it didn't? Here's Antonio Pierce again on the way the quarterback battle went.
I mean, everything. I mean, you can't take one. You can't take the good and not take the bad, right? So wish it ended well for both gentlemen, right? And it just didn't. And we'll look at it. We'll evaluate. They both had opportunities. Aiden had 20 attempts, and Minshew had 21. So about as balanced as we can get it, and we'll look at it. Obviously, you saw what our plan was tonight. Throw the ball around, let these guys showcase what they can do, and we'll talk about it.
Okay, the snake's not walking through that door. Kenny Stabler, if you're thinking about fading the Raiders, you definitely are going to fade the Raiders after that comment. Now, it's 6.5 in the market, juiced up $1.30 to the over.
Okay. That comment just led me down a rabbit hole. I am looking to see if any book has these odds. I don't see it. So I'm going to start this conversation right now. You think the Las Vegas Raiders are going to sign Colin Kaepernick to play quarterback this year?
Are you doing this to me on a Monday? You've had a rough start to the program. And now you're going to hit me with Neil guy? That's not happening. If you think you're hoodwinking me into a Kaepernick conversation on a Monday on a betting network, you've lost your freaking mind.
In 2024.
Exactly.
But he still might be the best option for them.
One team still up on the board as far as first snap week one. It didn't go well this weekend, if we're being honest, about the Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll come back and discuss their quarterback room next. Okay, Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Dustin Sweetelson. I'm Patrick Maher. We welcome you in. Hope you had a nice weekend. It's time to get serious about this football. A lot of quarterback conversations happening. We just heard from Antonio Pierce. And again, the right call, and regardless of what you think of Minshew, the right call, if you're coaching the Raiders, is my assumption the locker room wanted the vet. He played fine with Indianapolis. And you just never know which way is up with the organization, so you're coaching for your job. If you're Antonio Pierce, I think at this point, Minshew gives you a better opportunity to win. What we did immediately during the break, after hearing the clip where Antonio Pierce said, yeah, O'Connell stinks and so does Minshew. Any other questions? And 6.5 to make the postseason, or 3-1, miss the postseason, -$4. Division odds, they're 9-1. Conference, 60-1 on the Raiders. Super Bowl odds, 100-1. And then we went immediately to week one, which is going to be here in Los Angeles. The Chargers. Now, again, Herbert a little up in the air. I'm sure he'll be fine to go week one. But you said the number with the Raiders coming to Los Angeles week one is the Chargers laying 3?
Yeah, the Chargers, Jim Harbaugh's debut with L.A., laying 3, totals 42.5. And if Justin Herbert's heel is okay, I am going to be on those Chargers despite how ugly that roster looks. Based on that one clip alone, and by the way, Jim Harbaugh has plenty of weird clips, I know that Jim Harbaugh's team's going to be dialed in, ready to go for week one. Based on what I heard from Antonio Pierce, I think he's going to pull the plug on Gardner Minshew in the second quarter if things aren't going well.
Yeah, it is. It's an interesting vibe there with the Raiders right now. Top heavy on talent, and we shall see. He did galvanize the group when he took over on an interim basis last year. But it gives you an idea. Like, for example, I'm just looking at the Chargers right now. You know, Easton Stick. He's getting opportunities to be the backup again there. They just released Max Duggan. Speaking of the Raiders, Trey Lance was actually good for the Cowboys over the weekend. This isn't a very deep, you know, it's top heavy as far as you've got. The way I look at the quarterback position, you've got 7 or 8 that are exemplary on the planet, and the rest of them, you got to coach them up. It's really what it comes down to. And it might, 7 or 8 might be a stretch. And that brings us to Pittsburgh, because somehow I bumbled and fumbled my way into watching that preseason game over the weekend. And Russell Wilson, right now, to be the week one starter is -500. Justin Fields is 3.5-1. Jaden, now, kind of similar offenses to what's being run with the Commanders. Jaden Daniels is an all-star. This guy's a Hall of Famer. You love the vibes. You love the poise. You love the competency from a kid. Now, he did play 5 years in college, Daniels, so he's good to go. And again, I like the Commanders this year. We've gone on and on about it. But the opposite would be Justin Fields, who just, and again, new offense, I get it, but he just did not look comfortable. And this Russell Wilson conversation, again, somebody is going to have to explain to me what Pittsburgh was thinking. Because if you drew up a perfect scenario, and we said it last year, everybody said the same thing. There isn't a better person on the planet to rejuvenate and see what's happening with Bo Nix right now. There isn't a better person on the planet to rejuvenate Russell Wilson than Sean Payton. Payton couldn't wait to get his corny ass out of there. All right? 1 year. And he was fine. But Payton immediately realized, I can't joystick this guy. That's what Payton wants to do. That's the reason he drafted Bo Nix. And we can get into the rookie market and the pricing on Bo Nix, because everybody is losing their freaking mind, including the big guy, because the old Oregon Duck completed a couple passes in the pre against third stringers. Congratulations. Denver stinks. Russell Wilson with the Steelers. Please help me. It's a name, which I understand. Seattle's a long time ago. He's not the same player. They've got an issue. Right now, that's the only one on the board as far as week one there, big guy.
What were they thinking? They did not realize the price for Justin Fields at the time would be as little as it ended up being. A sixth, seventh round pick to get Fields over to Pittsburgh. That was probably part of the conversation, and it was desperation. They also looked at their defense, right? Pittsburgh defensively is probably going to be a top five defense. They add Patrick Queen in the middle at linebacker. They add Dante Jackson at corner from Carolina. There are no weak spots on that defense. And I think that's their goal here, is if we can have a quarterback that just doesn't screw this up for us, we will be in every game and it will come down to the fourth quarter. And that's where Mike Tomlin, his attitude, his demeanor, his discipline, that's where it tends to come through for this organization versus other teams that tend to blink in these high pressure moments. So I think they thought Russell Wilson's a veteran. He's an accurate passer. He will make good decisions. But I'm going to go back to an old gauge we used to use on this show to figure out if someone had anything left in the tank. Which toast is Russell Wilson? Is he the lightly toasted? Is he that middle-of-the-road toast? I'm talking about white bread people toast. Or is he burnt toast? Right now, I think Russell Wilson isn't quite unedible toast, but he's right on the edge of it.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's been playing football for a long time, obviously. So he's well-versed in the rhythms of the season, but that debut on Saturday, a 9-3 loss. And by the way, the unders, there's a correlation here with the dogs and unders in the preseason. The unders are 27-6. I've just been betting them, not even looking at the number. Just under, 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 and you're profiting. The unders are crazy. So another under, 9-3, thrilling game with the Steelers and the Bills over the weekend. So again, Wilson, He slogged his way through five series.
Oh, 4.7 yards per attempt doesn't do it for you, Patrick?
You could push back.
No, I'm
and this is why,
serious.
8.5 on the win total. You could push back, and there's always going to be the Tomlin conversation, because new coordinator in Arthur Smith, two new quarterbacks in that system, a terrible wide receiver group. You've got rookie center Zach Frazier. So that's going to take some time to figure some things out there. So it's an uphill battle, to put it kindly. And it does look like at minus 500, Wilson will be taking the first snap this year. 10-7 last year for Tomlin as he continues the double-digit streak.
I mean, honestly, looking at this, it might be a four-win team. They realistically might win four or five games. There's a very good likelihood that that happens. They have nothing on offense. Also, let's keep in mind, who are they throwing to? George Pickens, awesome, but what else is there? Who are we throwing out there? And by the way, the run game that they've relied on for a really long time, we were making jokes on this show a year ago that Najee Harris was moving in quicksand. Like, he looked like he was running in slow motion every game. So I don't know what this offense can do at all to keep this team in games.
Look, I'm not saying that Najee Harris is slow, but that glacier the Titanic hit had better wiggle. going to be a rough. Look at the big guy. It's going to be a rough year.
But no, but that's why Justin Fields has
8.5 is a wild number.
So look, Justin Fields has to be the starter for the Steelers, and it has nothing to do with like anything we just said. It has to do with the fact that at least he can make something happen. It may work against you. He may throw some pick sixes. There may be some fumbles. But at least there will be some sort of electric play upside with him getting the ball at quarterback. Russell Wilson just doesn't function in today's NFL at the age he's at with what is remaining in the skill set. Justin Fields needs to start day one in this Arthur Smith system and try and make something happen with his legs.
Yeah, it was funny because I was, and again, you mentioned it. It could be, it's certainly a top three defense, just
it's
as a unit. Could be one of it, eventually could be the best. The ceiling is the Steelers could have the best defense in football. And that's the irony here because the offense could be equally as bad. And I was thinking with Russell Wilson in the Steelers uni over the weekend, I'm like, somebody said on social, you know, it looks weird. No, it doesn't. He's a journeyman now. That's just what he is. He was hanging out. He was hanging out with the hippies in Boulder. Okay, we saw him in a Broncos uni. Now he's in a Steelers uni. Next year he'll be in another uni. This is who he is at this point.
Yeah, he'll do this until nobody will take him anymore. That's how it goes. And no one will cry for him. It will be a wonderful career. He won a Super Bowl. But that guy who won the Super Bowl for the Seahawks a long time ago, that's not the same player you're getting anymore. Like, people think it's name brand value. He was awful in Denver, and you can blame Hackett all you want, but why was he awful again for Sean Payton the second year? There's nothing left, baby. This was the best option for Pittsburgh to move on from Kenny Pickett. They thought they were bringing in a veteran. They got lucky that Justin Fields was available to get as well. At this point, move on. Tell Wilson goodbye, go with the upside playing Fields, and give your fans something to cheer about this year because at least there's potential. We already know what Russell Wilson is. He's toast.
We have prediction time. He will be announcing after this year retirement.
No, I think he's stubborn, and he may end up in a camp with someone next year desperate, although the options every year feel like there's less and less teams that need a quarterback.
Well, the Miami Dolphins seemingly have a quarterback. Your boy Tua. He's not a big fan of Brian Flores.
Well,
when we return, wait till you hear the comments. And it might be true, but there's something to this. And we're going to talk about the Dolphins and their projections this year as well. The Steelers and the Browns both sitting 8.5 on the win total. Something feels off there. We're coming back with Tua and the Dolphins next. Okay, thank you to our engineer, Larry, who came with the John Wayne quotes to start the program today. Nice vibes to kick off a week here on Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Speaking of vibes, they're all-time high. We got a bunch of celebrities, and you're going to see them tonight. Okay, episode one of Circa Survivor, the quest for $9.2 million, will make its debut tonight. Right here on VSiN. This is a five-part docuseries which takes you inside the high-stakes world of the annual Circa Survivor. Follow the contestants as they make all-or-nothing picks over the 2023 NFL season and go behind the scenes of the world's largest legal betting contest. Several VSiN hosts make appearances along the way to offer their advice. You can watch Circa Survivor, the quest for $9.2 million tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on VSiN.com, YouTube TV, as well as a live broadcast on X. Go to vsin.com/survivor for details. And of course, at VSiN Live on X for the first of a five-part docu-series. Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. When I was living in Las Vegas, I lived in Henderson, Nevada, or as the people that live there affectionately call it, Hendertucky. But we've got a little bit of juice coming out of Henderson because Henderson's team is right now taking out a bunch of Samoans in the Little League World Series Finals. What's the score?
Well, they're facing Hawaii for a chance for the World Series, I believe, here. I believe that is the next round after this. So it's 0-0, just started. Looks like top of the second inning, and Henderson's at the dish. I don't love their color combo. They're gold and red, not my favorite. And Hawaii is in like a light blue and yellow.
Okay. All right. A little breakdown of And again, we're not necessarily dressed up in vibrant colors today, if we're being honest.
Well, I mean, they don't really make vibrant colors in quadruple XL, and rightfully so.
Look, I'll say this. The crib I lived in Henderson was great. You saw it. Big-ass house. But I just used, like, three rooms. Had a pool, which was cool, because during the pandemic, I just floated in the pool. Probably a little too much drinking. Probably a little too much TVG. Don't judge. Here was the drawback, and I noticed this in Las Vegas at a lot of the houses, all right? Carpet. Ooh. The whole entire house was carpeted. Carpet is disgusting.
No, it's gross. It all does is absorb all the germs in the air.
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
Not my thing. Anytime somebody came over, I'd apologize for the carpet. That wasn't my carpet because it wasn't my house. Hello, I've never bought anything. I just rent because I'm renting life. That's the way this goes. You understand? Now, we were asking about Russell Wilson a little earlier. I do believe we have your toast, so we can go ahead and throw this up and figure out where Russell Wilson sits. Now, obviously, you've got your bread, you've got your barely toasted, you've got your acceptable toast, you've got, now you're talking, you've got your brown, and the last one is burnt toast. I'd put Russell Wilson second to last.
Yeah, he's like in between those bottom two.
Yeah, in fact, I'd probably just put him as toast.
He's probably toast. I mean, I don't know what's left. He can't run anymore. And the idea of Russ cooking, that's what it ends up looking like. That last piece of toast at the bottom there, that is Russ cooking, burnt, disgusting. The only time they won a Super Bowl was when he was managing the game.
Yeah, get ready for a lot of bad Russ is cooking puns and gifs on social media over a long season. You understand? Probably some of them are going to be put up by you.
Yeah, no, I'm going to be guilty of 90% of them. What are you talking about?
Now, the vibes are high in Miami.
Yes.
I think we all would agree. You look at their offensive numbers last year. McDaniel, I'm confused on McDaniel because I'm never impressed when I hear him speak. They had the Miami Dolphins put out like a 5-minute clip of McDaniel at practice. Not impressed. He just kind of, again, but he's a hell of an offensive coach.
Yeah,
he's right there. McVay's on another planet, and then you got Ben Johnson, and then you have to start adding McDaniel into the conversation as far as just the dance of calling an offense.
So I think a couple things on McDaniel that I noticed. One, you do not respect people who are inefficient with their words, i.e. I noticed that as a trend in your life, and he is not. Like, if you edited down the best part of his press conferences, you'd get about 2 minutes of talking, and at the end you'd go, oh, that was kind of a thoughtful thing he said. Oh, most coaches don't speak that way. That's interesting. But he meanders like I'm doing right now in the middle of this conversation without getting to the point, and you don't like that. That's one.
Well, be immaculate with your words. That's not necessarily my issue. My issue is they put up a 5-minute clip, and he's the type of dude that just walks up to a random player and says, do you really believe in dinosaurs? You know what I mean? It's fine.
No.
He's created a good culture. Obviously, the players relate and like him, including Tua.
I think that's the key there. I think when he speaks directly to these players, based on the way I've seen them talk about him, he has a way of relating to them and motivating them in a very humanistic, basic way. Nothing over the top. He's not putting up Tony Robbins quotes. He's not yelling a mantra, pounding his chest like McConaughey in Wolf of Wall Street. He's just speaking to them like humans, and it seems to work.
Well, 9.5, -155 to make the postseason on the Dolphins. Again, 9.5 is the win total in division. They are your second betting favorite. The betting favorites, the Jets and the Bills at +180, but really closely behind the Dolphins at 2-1. In conference, they're 11-1, 22-1 on championship odds for the Miami Dolphins. And a lot of it has to do with the left arm of Tua. And he was efficient in the offense last year. Well, I believe he went on with your boy, Dan Levitard, and had some choice words for Brian Flores and then some positivity towards Mike McDaniel. What do we got here?
And here is that conversation on with Donk Levitard, Tua Tagovailoa, talking about the past.
To put it in simplest terms, if you woke up every morning and I told you you suck at what you did, that you don't belong doing what you do, that you shouldn't be here, that this guy should be here, that you haven't earned this right. And then you have somebody else come in and tell you, dude, you are the best fit for this. Like, you are accurate. You are the best whatever. You are this. You are that. Like, how would it make you feel listening to one or the other?
All right. So, obviously, the latter. He's given props to McDaniel. We just talked about the vibe. And if you don't know, he was talking about Brian Flores, who's 3 years in Miami. He's now, then he sued the Dolphins, and now he's coaching the defense with the Minnesota Vikings. He's from the Belichick tree. I don't think it would surprise anybody just based on vibes that Flores is grumpy.
Well, isn't that what a lot of those guys do? They don't have an identity because they worked under Belichick, so they go, they become a head coach, they just do whatever Belichick did, and they think that's going to work somewhere else.
Yeah, but this is very simple, and to me, it just reeks of a lack of emotional intelligence. It's like you have a kid, and you're beating them down as opposed to pumping them up, and you want to win football games with said kid. It's just simple. It's simple math as far as how to handle a human being. Flores, he feels like a guy that's like the old school, you have to earn it, and he's going to put him through some razzing, and that's what you got from the clip. Now, I don't think we have the clip, but I also believe he said he's a terrible person. Yeah. So Tua was not holding back.
No, because it sounds like he ruined his life and made his life miserable when he was playing for him. And I think this kind of goes hand in hand with, we've seen the way on the field that these teams have evolved in coaching quarterbacks. Remember, when we were younger, it was, well, he's going to fit into our system, right? We're going to draft a quarterback, and he's going to fit into our system. Well, now they build the systems around the quarterbacks. I think the same goes for talking to them, motivating them, coaching them up away from the field. I think there needs to be a change as well, and I think that is happening. That's why Mike McDaniel works, because of the way he talks to Tua, where Flores is coming from that old-school approach of, you have to earn it, you have to be this, you have to be that. It's tough love, but I don't think that works with today's player anymore.
Yeah, it's different. You can have the argument, have the conversation, participation trophies, coddling of America, whatever you want to do with it, it's still a reality, and you have to handle people accordingly. So either get with it, or sue the organization and go be a DC, because that's what he did.
Have fun with Sam Darnold in Minnesota.
So Miami, they'll close out the preseason on Friday, Dustin. They're at Tampa. That number, DraftKings is showing 3. The Westgate in town is Miami laying 2.5. Pretty much FanDuel showing 3. So, you know, I only see 2.5s in the market with Miami laying it. You're not going to see starters in week 3.
No, I'm just overall vibe on the team. 22-1 feels a little bit long just based on what the offense is capable of being. I'm tempted to fire on that. My biggest concern is obviously the loss of Christian Wilkins for this team. I think so much of that defense, which struggled at times, was centered around what he could bring attention-wise in the middle of that D-line. And they're going to miss some of the edge guys that ended up leaving via free agency, like Van Ginkle. I don't know what to make of this team, but if you're going to win the AFC, you have to be able to outshoot the Chiefs. They have the guys on offense to do that.
Yeah, 100%. Tyreek's a cheat code. When we return, a lot of buzz for Bo Nix in the market. We'll get to it next. You can email the show, sharpmoney@vsin.com, as we welcome you back on a Monday, August 19. So we're good. We're getting a football season. Excited about it. Dustin Sweetelson, downtown Las Vegas at the D. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. And I must say, so questions asked the pro coming up in the third hour with Steve Fezzik. We already got some great questions. Keep them coming. We'll ask the pro for you, and you'll get a shout out on the air. I should also extend my thank you to a lot of you. Dustin sent over a bunch of emails of people obviously giving your boy props for the hunger strike and giving me some advice. So I want to thank you for all the kind words. Thanks for asking, Dustin. A hunger strike lasted about 75 hours on Friday. I broke the strike a la Gandhi and ate a burger. So that's where we sit. Now, I will say I felt so great during the strike that I am going to do 5 days on, 2 days off for the rest of my life. I'm just trying to figure out Do I start the hunger strike on a Tuesday and Wednesday so the weekend can be lit?
Yeah.
Come out, eat on a Monday, because Mondays stink. So do you think Tuesday, Wednesday is good for the two-day fast every week?
Well, you said Tuesday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Thursday. You do two in a row?
Yeah, donk.
Tuesday, Wednesday. There's no football those days. So
good point.
And also, Tuesday's the worst day of the week. Like, give you something to deal with that day. It already stinks.
That's why they pay you the bid. That's why I came to you. I needed that sage advice.
Yeah, don't worry. I'll make up the eating. You only ate a burger. That's it? Like, no fries?
Oh, I ate a ton of food. I just started air frying things. just started throwing things in the air fryer and just bringing it out and firing it down the gullet. Now, I will say that, you know, been dealing with COVID.
Yeah.
I probably have about 65% of my taste buds back.
Oh!
Still waiting on the other 35%.
You know what, though? 65 is better than zero. I mean, that's what my report card looked like. A lot of 65s and zeros, so I definitely know this from experience. But, hey, that means you're trending in the right direction.
Thanks, big guy. Appreciate it. Speaking of trending in the wrong direction, that would be your protein bar, which melted in your pocket during the break.
Yeah, no free ads here, but I do like these Bear Bells. This was a new flavor I was going to try out, and apparently things are so swampy in my lees, in my dungarees, that this protein bar has now melted. It's literally bendable.
Dan Mullen, ESPN college football, former coach, of course. Dan Mullen is going to join us at the top of the hour. Looking forward to that. Derek Carty will get you a bunch of baseball plays. No live bullets as we speak, but we've got plenty of baseball to get to. And then professional bettor, Steve Fezzik. Now, WBF Wet Blanket Fezzik. We're going to have to call him out for calling us out for the horse racing content, which just feels a little wet blankety.
Yeah.
But that's what he does.
Yeah, look, you opened this segment with August 819, which leads me to say damn good time, which is what we're trying to do here. And Steve Fezzik just doesn't want to have fun. I don't understand not wanting to have fun. I'm a big proponent of fun.
Yeah, no, fun is good. The Denver Broncos might not be a lot of fun this year. And here's what's interesting. So Bo Nix, obviously, he was just selected by Sean Payton to remote control him. It's the best way I can put it is there are certain people that can coach him up, and there are certain people like a Sean McVay. So I went to the game. It was the Raiders in a must-win spot against the Rams. Remember this Thursday night game here at SoFi? And 2 days before, Baker Mayfield hopped off the bird and started. Well, you could just tell. Now, I was watching a lot of the dynamics because the Raiders head coach at the time, your boy Josh McDaniels, he literally stood. He didn't even stand by the team. He just was over there with his play card and didn't talk to anybody. And then the opposite was Sean McVay. And you could tell Sean McVay, you know, he probably gave Baker Mayfield 5 skeleton plays, but he was literally telling him in his ear the whole entire time, here's what you're going to do. Here's what you're going to do. And McVay, they beat the Raiders. The Raiders in a must-win spot. It was unbelievable. I mean, Baker literally got there 10 minutes before, flipped that into the Bucs job, and away we go. The same is with Sean Payton. Sean Payton wanted Russell Wilson's corny ass to get the hell out of there because he just wanted a kid he could remote control. And that's what he's going to do with Bo Nix, right? I mean, that's Bo Nix started a ton of games in college. You know, good build, does everything very well, mobile. He's going to be fine. This quarterback class could be exceptional because Caleb Williams is doing things and Jaden Daniels is doing things that are otherworldly. The preseason, temper your excitement. Now, Peyton, which is an interesting approach, we've got him talking about, and you can give me the numbers, and we'll take a look at the numbers right now. Bo Nix has shrunk to 11-1 on offensive rookie of the year. So Caleb plus 135, Jaden Daniels plus 475, Marvin Harrison Jr. 6.5-1, Malik Nabers 11-1. We'll get to Daniel Jones coming up in just a bit, and Bo Nix is sitting 11-1.
He's also 6-1 out here at William Hill. So it's getting short at some books. I'm seeing 8.5-1, 9-1. But either way, when our VSiN Pro Football Betting Guide came out, a couple months ago, we had guys doing write-ups on Bo Nix at 16, 18, around 20 to 1, I want to say. So this thing has slowly been building, and it's obviously shortening up because we're all looking at it going, man, he's really dicing up these preseason defenses. I don't know what to make from it, but I do know I like the situation for Bo Nix. We can get into that in a second, but first, let's hear from Sean Payton because a couple of interesting clips came after the game yesterday. First, flat out, Sean Payton was asked, has Bo Nix done enough to win the QB1 job?
Well, listen, he's played well. I'm not announcing any starting quarterback tonight, or I'll let you guys know when the time comes. But I thought he played well. I thought he was sharp, obviously. I think he was 8 for 9. And, you know, he does a good job of distributing the football, understanding the zones, man-to-man, and what coverage concepts we're getting. But overall, I was pleased.
Take notes, Mr. Pierce. That's how you handle a quarterback question. I'm not telling you anything. Why would I?
Well, he kind of made a declaration here. This is the next clip from Sean Payton. He basically said, if you guys think I'm going to sit up here and do 45 minutes of Bo Nix questions, you're out of your minds. Here's Sean Payton. Listen,
this is all right, putting the cap on the Bo questions right here. The band sounds pretty good. I'm not dancing. You know, listen, there are a lot of things we did well as a team. All right, I'm not announcing a starter. And I told you, I'll get with you when we do.
Okay. So Sean Payton, a little curmudgeonly, talking about his prospective starter. Doesn't want to do it. 5.5 on the season. Win total, Denver Broncos, obviously not a lot of expectations.
Okay, but that plays into why I do like it at 13-1 still. I don't think Bo Nix is better than Jaden Daniels or Caleb Williams. That's not the conversation here. The conversation is, how is this award going to get voted on at the end of the year? And because of the defense, because of the team's going to be losing a lot in Denver, I see this as a chance for Bo Nix in a lot of third, fourth quarters to be throwing the ball a ton because this team's going to be throwing from behind. Caleb Williams has a unique situation. He has to make the playoffs with that team, and I don't think he's going to have a lot of situations where he's just chucking it from behind, putting up monster numbers. Now, he'll probably have some highlight reel plays. He'll probably have some big game-winning moments that could go in his accolades towards this award to make a strong case. And I think Jaden Daniels, when we're looking at him, super refined, super electric. He's going to have the passing and the rushing stats. But I think there's an opportunity with Denver being a bad football team that Bo Nix's passing stats at the end of the year just look really good, a la Dak Prescott early in his career when Dallas would be losing. He'd pad those stats throwing late in the game, and we'd think he was better than he really is. And that's how I see things playing out for Bo Nix this year.
But he could have got, what was the number last week?
16-1 last week.
So you said it's shortened up to what in town?
William Hill has 6-1. There's another book that's 9-1. It's all over the map. 11-1 over at DraftKings.
Yeah, so that's interesting. All the books trying to balance. Caleb's going to be shortest everywhere at +135 and certainly has looked the part. And you already knew this watching him at USC. Off schedule, for a quarterback to throw across his body with the accuracy and the smoke with which Williams does, that is just innate. Clean pocket, Tom Brady, ability to deliver the ball, that's one thing. The Williams special sauce comes on the run, which is just a whole nother level. And just the velocity, the velo, does not drop at all. He's incredible.
He's different when the play breaks down. The creativity is there. The way to improvise and make things happen. And the only question is like, can you move the chains when you need to in the middle of the game? Pick up those
and
key Jayden first downs.
And Jaden Daniels, the gliding nature with the way he runs the ball is fascinating to watch. He just glides. Dan Mullen, ESPN, college football analyst next.